The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help. The Business Of on The Pat Kenny Show. Thanks to Irish Life. For actual, trusted advice on your nest egg, search Irish Life or talk to your financial broker or advisor.
So one of the big business successes in the last 10 years in Ireland has been whiskey. Sales booming, particularly in countries outside Ireland. So we decided to ask what's behind the recent growth and are there any threats on the horizon? Who better to ask than News Talk's Deputy Business Editor, Gavin McLaughlin, here to tell us all. So the figures, give us a sense of the scale of this as a market and as an export commodity.
Well, let's just take the revenue first. In 2016, total revenue generated from selling Irish whiskey around the world was 2.3 billion. And in 2020, it was 3.1. So that's 34% growth in 4 years. And without COVID, it would be even better because there was a blip in 2020 when sales were down slightly due to bar closures. Just in Ireland then, the growth is also very strong, although lower, 16% growth from 2016 to 2020, so still very good. And just finally then, in total, in 2020 across the world, there were 11.4 million cases of Irish whiskey sold. So that's the equivalent of 138 million standard bottles.
That's the entire market for the all whiskey produce. Who are the big winners in amongst that? Who are the top sellers?
Well, no surprise to see Jameson in front, but it might surprise people by how much. So I told you there were 11.4 million cases sold in 2020. Jameson sold 7.1 million of those. Tullamore Dew was second with 1.2 million. Bushmills did 745,000. Proper number 12, that's the one set up by Conor McGregor, that was fourth with 292,500. And Kilbeggan was fifth with 168,100.
So when you look at those figures, regardless of even just the total amount sold, the growth numbers are extraordinary. What's driving it? Why is Irish whiskey doing so well?
Well, there are a couple of things. There's a big trend called premiumisation. So that means people are drinking less, but what they are drinking is better quality. So it's kind of related to the general health and wellness kick that people are on. So that's being seen across most of the Western markets. We're also seeing a shift away from white spirits like vodka and rum and towards brown spirits like whiskey and cognac. And it can be hard to put one's finger on precisely why these things happen. I try to unravel the mystery with William Lavelle from the Irish Whiskey Association. Why are brown spirits growing so much?
People talk about, you know, like any consumer good, you get shifts in tastes over time. You know, some people will say it's down to, you know, more whiskey appearing on TV programs, everything from Mad Men to The Wire. It's very hard to know. But what we've seen is a shift to brown spirits over the past 10, 15 years. Whiskey is particularly booming. And within that whiskey category, and you can think of Scotch and bourbon and Japanese and so on, Irish whiskey is really flying it. And don't forget, Ireland is the home of whiskey. You know, we're the country where whiskey distilling started, where whiskey got its name, and we were the global powerhouse of production back in the 19th century. And there was a reason for that. Irish whiskey was just a great whiskey. It was very accessible, a very accessible taste profile. And I think consumers around the world are now beginning to have the access again to Irish whiskey as supplies increase.
That's William Lavelle there from the Irish Whiskey Association. He mentioned that we used to be top dog in the global whiskey trade. What happened?
I would say three things. You have the Easter Rising stroke War of Independence. That bit did big damage to our trading with other British Empire countries. We were also outflanked by Scotch in numerous ways when it came to efficiency of production. And there was another factor as well, which is still a problem now. Fake products masquerading as Irish whiskey. This is going on all over the world. William Lavelle from the Whiskey Association explains.
An example would be domestically produced whiskey. So it might still be whiskey, but it's not Irish whiskey produced in line with our rules on the island of Ireland, matured on the island of Ireland, with all of the character that Irish whiskey has. Alternatively, it could be simply a white spirit that has caramel colouring added to it. And what's happening is, and we see this happening around the world, they're providing unfair competition to authentic Irish whiskey produced in Ireland. The other thing about it is that we do not want consumers to have one bad experience that they put down to an Irish whiskey, which really isn't an Irish whiskey. That could damage their confidence in the category. And unfortunately, that did happen in the past. Back at the times of Prohibition in the United States, there was very poor quality liquid being put on the market by bootleggers, being labelled as Irish whiskey. And it wasn't, but it done severe damage to the credibility of the category.
We have seen buckets of distilleries springing up over the last 10 years, though, haven't we? Outside of the big names you listed earlier.
Yeah, we've gone from 4 to around 40 distilleries in the last 10 years or so. But there's something I think you need to bear in mind about the economics of all this. If you want to call your product Irish whiskey, it has to be distilled on the island and matured in wooden casks for 3 years. Now, given that 3 year maturing period, the economics are very difficult because you're building the distillery, you're spending the capital, and then you have to wait 3 years to start selling the stuff. So what people will do while they're waiting, if you like, is that they'll buy in stuff from other distilleries that's already been matured, and then they'll play around with it and put it out on their own label. And to be honest, it kind of begs the question, why would you even bother distilling your own stuff? Matt Healy from Bowen Distillery in Drogheda responds.
I suppose one of the main benefits for building your own distilleries are that you have kind of security of supply, and you ultimately have control over what spirit you want to produce. You know, there's a number of different types of flavor profiles and styles of whiskey that people produce in the island of Ireland, and we're kind of quite a rich tapestry of flavors. So you can work for yourself and create the flavors you're looking for or the supply you're looking for. And particularly in Ireland at the moment, the demand for aged Irish whiskey far, far outstrips the supply. So in a lot of cases, it is that security of supply, because essentially the older stocks aren't there to be had. So it's a security in the long run and the future of your business. Is why most people would lay down their own distilleries. And then it also gives you a place of home and an added place of authenticity and trust with consumers around the world, that you're a bricks and mortars facility and you're able to come visit the birthplace of your brand and of your spirit as well.
Matt Healy there from Bowen Distillery in Drogheda. Nice to have your own place to bring tourists to and show around. The one bit in all of this, Gavin, that I'm always curious about is how do all of the upstart, not to use that pejoratively, but the new distilleries, how do they manage to carve themselves a niche in a market when there are so many of them?
Yeah, it's a big problem. It's probably not as bad as craft beer, where everything seems to be called names like Walrus's Claw or Monkey's Toenail or something. But yes, it is a problem. You just have to grapple with it, though, and try and get that cut through. Now, one of the startups that has succeeded in this, certainly in the Irish market anyway, is Teelings. I would suspect they're the best known of the new breed. I caught up with their managing director, Jack Teeling, and I asked how they went about trying to stand out.
I felt there was no brand that represented modern Ireland and, modern Dublin. And, you know, when you go overseas, you see internationally people have this expectation of Ireland, but it doesn't necessarily gel with my generation in that we're, let's say, a cosmopolitan, vibrant, young city rather than this old worldview. So I felt there was a gap there to do it. And I think it connected. I think people understood and bought into it, both domestically and internationally into this. We still struggle sometimes when you're talking about modern Ireland and modern Dublin, and the fact that we've all the technology companies there, and that, you know, rather than, you know, we have to emigrate, we choose to emigrate because we're a confident, young, educated country. So there's still a job to be done to do it. But, you know, as I said, we went out there from the start to do something different, not just trying to do something like, you know, the rolling hills of Ireland and all so forth. We want to present, you know, a more modern view of what Ireland is and, you know, hopefully Irish whiskey could be as well.
It's Jack Teeling there from Teeling's Whiskey. Important to say as well, I think that, you know, you can talk about what you want your brand image to be, but you have to back it up with your packaging and your social media and going after the foodie trend, which Teeling's have done quite well. There's also an element of first mover advantage for them, I think, too. Part of the reason they're the best known of the new breed is they were one of the first to take the entrepreneurial plunge.
I have already expressed to you my regret at not following one of your contributors' advice on News Talk Business to get into the uranium market. I lost out on all the upside of that. Give us your take then on the whiskey market and Irish whiskey generally. Is there a big upside on the way in my virtual portfolio? Should I be investing?
Well, let me read you this piece of analysis from the investment bank Berenberg. Now, this is in relation to C&C, which makes Bulmers, but it applies, I think, to every drinks company. These Berenberg analysts say social media culture has placed significant emphasis on vanity and looks, to which alcohol and smoking are not conducive. People have been put off the consumption of alcohol that may lead to them going viral for being wasted on camera. 20 years of anti-drug, anti-smoking and anti-alcohol education has done its job. It is no longer uncool to not drink or take drugs. Now, that's pretty colourful as far as an investment analyst report goes, Anton, but it is true in the sense that people are drinking less. Alcohol consumption per capita here has been declining really since 2000. A few lumps and bumps on the way, but that has been the long-term trend, and not just here. So obviously that makes the established markets more challenging in the medium term, even if you take into account the move towards sort of more premium drinks. So if these manufacturers want to get growth, probably the most effective way is to tap new markets where there isn't much of a presence or awareness of Irish whiskey, and there's space to grow. And that is happening now with places like Nigeria, where Irish whiskey is growing very strongly. Regulation, of course, is the other thing. You know, the government regulation is going to be another challenge. But overall, I'd say there's plenty of success to be had.
Based on that, I will diversify away from uranium, Gavin. That is News Talk's deputy editor, or deputy business editor, I should say, Gavin McLaughlin.